From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Negler, and I am joined, as always, by my co-founder here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio in New York City. Corey joins us from Green Bay, Wisconsin, right across the street from Lambeau Field. And we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we catch up on everything I missed while I was busy in my garden, and we look ahead to the beginning of the Jordan Love era. But right now, we've got an off-season edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. We got the good, we got...
Turning the page from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love.
We got the bad, we got...
The leverage wars, they went on forever. I'm sick of it.
We got the ugly, we got...
Aaron Rodgers in a Jets uniform. Are you kidding me? Ugly. It ain't got no alibi. It's ugly. Let's take a look.
You know what else is?
Look at this. Look at this. Yes. Look at that. So ugly. All right, Nicole, take it down. Take it down, Trevor. I don't need to see it.
I don't like it.
Good Lord. Corey Banky,
you know what else
doing,
is ugly?
Buddy?
I opened a beer right before this show that I showed everybody. Literally opened it up. As the intro is starting, and I spilled half of it, and I spent the entire intro cleaning up this beer. I just put my sweat rag, so I hope it doesn't get too hot up in this piece, is now covered in beer, so I'm going to just suck that down a second.
What
half
a way
of the show.
To start it off, baby. We are back.
Yeah.
Packers, Transplants Live, and we do mean live.
I just saw, holy crap, socials like going off. I didn't even get to that. I definitely was carrying something, and then I dropped the G. I dropped the G, guys.
The G, but we're back. We're back. Corey Banky, how the hell was your offseason, buddy? How you doing?
It was good. It was good.
Yeah?
It was good. You know, it's we're in pre-camp. We still technically are. Tomorrow is we are on the eve. We are in pre-camp eve right now, people. Starts tomorrow. Can't believe it.
I'm so excited.
You know, we planned for this since... Plan for this since January, and it just comes upon you so fast. It's like summer gets here, you get all excited in Wisconsin, and then the season's starting. It's crazy. Yesterday we had a shareholders meeting, and it kind of felt like a game atmosphere around here. It was kind of cool.
Nice.
You know, people walking around, had some traffic in Green Bay, which is a interesting, rare, unique sight around here. And, it's already full in gear. It's exciting. Got the new pro personnel building right over my shoulder that is new this year. They're still getting it together for the coaches and the players. They have a new place to park. You're seeing new videos of where the players are parking.
Changes the whole background for those social videos from the Packers.
Yeah, a lot of changes going on. Really exciting. Really exciting. Honestly, this is probably, you know, one of the most exciting training camps in a long time, probably, you know, 12 or 13 or 14 years.
Couldn't agree more.
I can't count.
Could not agree
more. But yeah, very, very exciting. You know, a lot of people, they just don't know. It's like that. It's almost like the pre-camp vibe where you're like, what I love so much about pre-camp is that, you know, you don't know what the possibilities are. They're endless. They're virtually endless. Any player could eventually become, you know, the next Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson of that year. And, you know, you kind of get this vibe around the entire team right now. What's it going to be? How's it going to gel? What's going to happen? You know, and meanwhile, in New York, the most basic shit is being shown all the time. Like, literally, here's Aaron Rodgers throwing a pass to a receiver. And then they're going to show that like a million times. So dumb.
Yeah, well, you know.
I just can't wait for our camp to start. Here's the thing. I can't wait for our camp to start.
Video.
Yeah, it's like I don't need Jets. I'm literally going to block anybody that posts Jets stuff this year. Because, you know, I think that's the what do they call that? A way to I'm gonna use people posting Jets things. Like it's like, okay, I get it when he was leaving and he got traded, but like the Aaron Rodgers bootlicker camp, like we deserved
we could have a conversation if you'd like.
We deserved, as Packer fans, we deserved the season that we are embarking on 2 years ago. Let's not get it twisted. We all, the diehard fans out there, most of them, not saying people that thought differently were not diehard fans, not saying that, but there was a very, most fans that I talked to were been ready for this chapter to begin. So we're two years behind. Let's get this thing moving and let's
that
get
is
in the playoffs.
The thing, though. It's like,
you know, to me, that's the goal. Goal is getting the playoffs, by the way.
Look, I understand why the move wasn't made when it was. We all wanted it. The Packers weren't ready to do it, and I get it. And look, I think that will serve them well this year in particular because Jordan's had the amount of time he's had to sit. So I'm with you. I'm excited. I'm ready to embark. It's a whole new era, and that does make it exciting. And we'll talk about all this in a little bit. We got some stuff to get to. But first, Corey, before we go any further, it is time. It's time. It's our first hotness of the year. Let's get to it.
Oh, snap.
Baby, been waiting to hear that. Love it.
It's been a while.
God, that's just awesome.
I don't even know what the hotness is. I just see the hotness, so I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this.
That would require.
Well, I read the script. I read the script. It's not the hotness is not in the script. Just the cue of the video, and I don't have that playing right now. Okay, let's see. I'm excited.
There are two things. They just have their own cues. That's why you don't think they're the hotness, but they are. First up, the new video boards in Lambeau. It has been time. It has long been time. Look at that thing. That is like a star destroyer of a video board. It is beyond time for new video boards in Lambeau Field. I am beyond excited. I'm sorry we don't have video of the video boards in action, but we have new video boards in Lambeau Field. That, ladies and gentlemen, is fucking hot. I can't tell you. I never really understood how behind Lambeau was in this regard. Until I got on the beat and I traveled to all these other stadiums and I was like, oh, we're like, you know, when you used to go to your grandma's house and grandma's television was inevitably a lot less than what you had at home. It's like,
yeah,
watching highlights in Lambeau was like being at grandma's house. It was like, grandma, can we buy you a new TV? No, I like this one. So it's like no longer is Lambeau grandma's house. Now it's a modern house. And
If I have one nit to pick with the boards, they're a little bit too wide than tall. So they should have, in my opinion, they should have made them a little bit taller because most of your content's 16:9. So now they're going to have to repurpose. And like, it's kind of like, guys, couldn't you just pay a little bit more for a little bit taller boards? You know, I think what they were doing is they're so afraid of us outside watching.
Million.
Yes. Yeah, well, I think they're kind of afraid of, like, because honestly, if you go over,
flying your drone, you're going to have a free view of everything. You know, they don't want that.
You can't fly your drone. It's illegal. That's illegal, by the way. You can't do that. They'll come. The black suits will come. So here's the thing. If you go to Oneida and if you go to Oneida and Lombardi, right from there, you can actually, like, you could watch the game in Lambeau Field. It's really cool. Like, you could watch whatever's on the screen. So I wonder if they did it because of that, you know?
I love it. Well, regardless, it's hot. The other hotness, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're partnered with the folks over at the official, and I underline official, yearbook of the Green Bay Packers. That's right. Go to PackersYearbook.com. Use promo code CHTV. For 10% off, and you too can enjoy the writing of one Wes Hodkowitz, among others. But let me tell you, Wes is an absolute demon for this thing. He is amazing. The content he provides for this piece, this yearbook, is incredible. We are proud to partner with them. Go to PackersYearbook.com, promo code CHTV for 10% off. Do it. That's hot. Ladies and gentlemen, Let me just show you. Like, I've got my copy. Look at that. Rise and That's shine. Nice. Jordan Love, baby. Let's go. I'm telling you, this thing is amazing. You want your copy, folks. Get ready for a new era. All right. You ready, Corey? You ready for some Packers news? Because there is a bunch.
Yeah.
There is a bunch of Packers news. Some of it is camp specific. Some of it is like organizational, but it's all got to be talked about. First up, probably the headliner going into camp, Rashawn Gary and Eric Stokes start the camp on PUP. I don't think anybody's should
but Rashawn
be surprised.
Gary's coming that. Back, and he's coming back like in a week. Like he's supposed to be in camp.
Well, okay.
I just read that somewhere.
All right. Relax. Not a week. It won't be a week. Which is the next note. Stokes and Gary on track to return during camp.
Oh yeah, during camp. That's what I saw.
During camp.
I knew that news. I was so excited when it said Rashawn Gary's going to return for camp. Well, camp's tomorrow, bro. I hate to tell you.
I know
his eminence Aaron Nagler won't be here tomorrow for the start of camp. But guess who will be? This guy right here. Let's go. Anybody says I'm not on it.
What? Okay, first of all, are you reading the chat? Don't read the chat.
I'm not reading the chat. I'm literally watching you.
Are you going to go to practice?
You know how I go to practice? I go out this door right here. I sit and I can literally see the kids on their bikes. I can chill and I can have a beer and I can be like, that kid got that. And I can have my binoculars. I'm at camp, bro.
Okay, I'm at camp.
So I don't know what I'm more at camp than
you're
you
not
are,
going
bro.
To practice.
I'm more at camp than you are.
I'm more at camp than you are, bro. Calmer than you are, bro. I will say, I talked about this on Daily a little bit. I'm definitely having a little FOMO. There is zero doubt. Like, I've been at the first day of camp for like 10 years, basically, and it's been a long time. But look, there's no pads. There's no, like, they're in shorts and t-shirts for the first like 4 or 5 practices. Like, it's just, I want to be there. Here's the other thing. So if I get there early, I can't be gone forever. So then I got to leave. And then like the joint practices happen and I don't want to miss those. That's the most exciting part of camp. So I'll be there. Don't you worry.
These things sound like a you problem, not a Packers problem.
Yeah, no, they sound like a very much a me problem. The other problem is dudes getting hurt after the off-season program all on their own, including Tariq Carpenter and Tre'Davious Moore, who earlier today were placed on the non-football injury list. You hate to see it. Dudes who weren't even playing football.
I don't even know who that is. I don't even know why we're talking about them.
I know. Tariq Carpenter is a second-year player who is making the switch from safety to linebacker. Tre'Davious Moore is a free agent addition safety that they signed from the San Francisco 49ers. Not that you would know anything about that. Speaking of signings.
I still don't care. But,
yes, but, I'm aware. But speaking of signings, the Packers did sign an MVP, the USFL MVP, Alex Magoo. Can I just say this right here? Because this is probably...
He's a quarterback, right? That's a quarterback, right?
He's a quarterback.
Yeah, that's sweet.
And I think he'll probably have a nice camp, and it'll be a fun story or whatever. But can I just say, the amount of fucking people who instantly, because he played well in the USFL, are like, oh, could he challenge Jordan Love? All right, all y'all, just erase your internet. Just like delete your presence online, because
technically, don't encourage these people, every person who is on the roster as a quarterback is challenging Jordan Love for the top spot, but realistically they're challenging for number two. I get it.
Moving on, Jordy Nelson will be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I mean, here's the thing. What happens when, you know, they're like, oh, we love Jordan Love those first two games? I mean, I know Coach is going to play him the entire time. Like, are they going to take Jordan Love out to see any other quarterbacks?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so what happens in the third quarter when Alex Magoo, you say Magoo, Magoo, McGillicuddy?
Magoo.
When he throws three Hail Marys at the end of the game to win the game, and all of the state of Wisconsin is clamoring for him to start, what are they going to do then? I don't think Mark Murphy has enough. Kurt Benkert wanted to stick around.
They all wanted, like, you know, that happens
Dude,
every
Kurt,
year.
Kurt Benkert dug his own grave with the Packers, in my opinion.
That's an interesting.
He got too big. He got too big for his britches, and you can kind of see it happening now on social all the time. He got a little too big for his britches. He didn't ask permission on some stuff.
I don't think that's the case.
They don't like fan favorites around here. Come on.
That's now you're closer. I think he had a good connection with fans, and he was very good at using social media, and the Packers don't like that. There's zero doubt about that. Like, there, I'm with you. But, like, I don't think he got too big for his britches. I just think he's really good on social media. That's
I think he did some things on social media he didn't ask about. You know what I mean? That's what I mean.
Anyway, like, next up, we got Josh Sitton and Jordy Nelson being inducted to the Packers Hall of Fame, which is not really news, but I love that Tyler Herrick, our social person, put it out there like it was news during the shareholders meeting, and kind of everyone just ran with it. God bless. That's the power of Tyler, by the way. That is the power of Tyler. It was funny because, like, he tweeted it out, and I was like, I think that's been out there, because, like, I kept waiting for it. They announced it, and I was like, didn't they announce this? And then I searched my Google, and it was like, yeah, there's the email from the Packers, like, announcing it, like, last year, whatever. But it was fun to watch how much Tyler can drive social conversation. God bless him. I love it. Speaking of social conversation, you know Complex, Corey. You don't know Complex. No one knows Complex. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, wasn't it a magazine and now it's a social channel?
Are magazines still existing? Is that a thing now?
Yeah.
Well,
Sports
whatever
Illustrated
it is,
still tweets, bro.
I guess. Sure.
Like, it's still the Sports Illustrated is still
a
thing.
Wait, they're not tweets anymore. They're like X's, aren't they?
X's. They anyway, still X.
Whatever.
They still
are.
X it out.
So, Complex ranked all 32 teams. And this is important to know, Corey. There are 32 teams in the NFL. Complex ranked the Packers Twitter account at 32. 32. There are only 32 teams.
I'm actually surprised they got 32, to be honest with you.
They should have been sub 32 is what they should have been.
They could have not been on the list, and they could have been like, yeah, there's no honorable mentions. We're just only going to rank people who actually are good at all.
What's really sad is they fell from like 22nd or 24th last year, all the way down to 32nd. That's how bad
They've done less. To be honest, they've done less. Titletown, the Titletown account does more social than the Packers account. It's kind of crazy.
I don't think you're wrong. Now,
it's
here's the thing.
Look,
before we move on, can I just say, stop people online attacking the handle of the Packers. Like, the people running the Packers Twitter account are creative as hell, really fucking great.
Yeah.
It's not their fault.
No.
It's not on them. They have edicts from on high. Now, where the conversation in some later date, we'll get into this, where the controversy gets, how high does it go? That's the question. But trust me, the people tweeting and responding to tweets and putting stuff out there, the people David Bakhtiari are attacking, it's not on them. It ain't their fault. That's all you need to know.
It's my fault.
Essentially. The Packers, by the way, Corey, shareholders meeting happened Monday, as you intimated. The Packers have reported revenue of $610 million. Now, as you'll see from this,
it's a little low.
Handy chart. Look at this. Look at this growth. Look at the growth from the national revenue. I mean, folks, I get local revenue didn't really skyrocket. But look, and I would suspect most of that is because no playoff game. But look at that national revenue. And here's the thing. The real bump from the huge media deals that they signed a couple years ago is set to hit next year. Like that chart, that last
bit. You know what's really crazy?
That's going to go way up. That's what's nuts.
What the one on the right? Really, what do you mean? You mean the national revenue?
The national revenue from 2022. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. The national revenue.
You know what's
revenue.
Really crazy
That's about to
is that
skyrocket.
You know what's really crazy is that $309 million in 2020 inflation numbers, I think, is more than $347 million in 2021 inflation, depending on how you do the math. So that's interesting. Also, $209 million in 2014 is a lot of money. compared to
sir. I
mean, it's all a lot of money. But even though their revenue was that wasn't their revenue, their profit was down, not their revenue was down, sorry.
Profit
one thing,
down,
one yeah. number was sure. down, yeah.
Yep.
Because they had to buy Cheesehead, you know, they had to buy Fomation, so that took their budget
Fomation.
Away.
They bought Fomation. They most certainly did. But more importantly, I love this. This is so unique. The idea that they have, as we all know, as you live right across from it, Titletown Tech is an ongoing concern for the Packers. They have partnered with Microsoft and raised, along with a few others, $70 million in their second fund to bring their assets under management up to $95 million, close to handling basically $100 million in this tech fund. I mean, that's pretty damn impressive for this mom and pop, smallest market in the league. By the way, we got stuff to throw around when it comes to like helping startups and building businesses in Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's amazing.
To be fair, it's national. It's not just Green Bay, and they're trying to do more Midwest, but it's not. Well, there's no prerequisite.
Right.
They actually have a lot of companies that are headquartered in places. Other thing I want to say about that is the first fund, I believe, had a lot more money from the Packers and Microsoft than investors, but the second fund had way more money from investors, and now they're well on the way into the third fund, which they haven't actually talked about.
Right.
And the third fund is projected to be a lot more than even the second round. So, you know, it's not done because, you know, if you're in the VC space, you understand $95 million sounds like a lot of money. But, you know, if you're trying to make unicorns, it's incredible that the Packers are able to do this in the Midwest and already be one of the largest VCs headquartered in the Midwest, which is pretty incredible. But they got a long way to go. I think their goal, you know, ultimately is, you know, half a bill.
As it should be.
So, yeah.
But
going.
By the way, also, are the New York Giants doing this? Are the San Francisco 49ers in near Silicon Valley doing this? You know what I mean? Like, the fact that they're doing this in Green Bay, Wisconsin is fucking awesome. I love it.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? All 31 teams are going to do it as soon as one company has a launch of a public
success story
IPO,
right.
And the Packers get $200 million off of a $2 million investment. That's where it's going to be like, oh, okay,
that'll work.
To do this. I would be surprised, though. I have a feeling that there are incubators from some of the other teams, though. I have a feeling that there's some. You know,
There are a handful. Yeah.
They're not like Titletown, but they do have some incubation and some investment.
Now we're going to talk some football, people. I'm not looking at the chat, but I got to think there's probably one lone dude like really mad that we're not talking about football. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some offense, ladies and gentlemen. First up, because you know where it starts, Corey, the offensive line. The offensive line should be a strength this year. We all remember going into Minnesota week one last year with the Jake Hansons of the world. No shade to Jake Hanson, but you're not a frontline starter in the NFL. You're a depth piece. We love to have you as depth. But the fact that David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins should, hopefully knock on wood, be ready and able to go week one for the Green Bay Packers is exponentially more important than almost anything else other than Jordan Love's development. The fact that they will be a strength for this team gives Jordan not only a fighting chance, but the Packers the ability to operate on offense. How many times have you seen teams, Brian kind of touched on this during his presser today, but teams where, like, we're trying to evaluate guys, say, in the second half of a preseason game, and nothing, you can't do anything because you can't block anybody, because you can't, like, hold the ball for more than 3 seconds before there's a defensive end in your face, you know? So the fact that this offensive line should be a strength it just starts Jordan Love's career as a starter on the perfect note. I love it. I love that they've got, and I know there were so many people out there, at least online, they should trade David Bakhtiari as a combo package with Aaron Rodgers. Are you insane? There's going to be a Hall of Famer. You don't just get rid of him like that. No. I love it.
No.
I love that he's here. I love that Elton's here. Need Josh Myers to step up a little bit, but the offensive line as a whole should be a strength, and I love it.
I mean, what they need to do is they need to go out there in free agency and get themselves a center. Don't get me started.
You mean like the Chargers did in Corey Linsley?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Chargers. How'd that go? Pretty well, I think.
I don't know. They just signed their quarterback to a billion-dollar deal, though. Holy cow. Shout out.
I just think it's...
Shout out, you know, Justin Herbert.
It's always that one missing link, you know? And the missing link is not the quarterback in the last 3 years.
I feel you. I feel you.
The key part of this graphic is the word should. Because nobody nobody dashes hopes. You know, it used to be the number one dasher of hopes was Aaron Rodgers. And now the new dasher of hopes is the Packers offensive line. Because
I should be a strength, Corey. It should be.
I want to have faith. I want to have faith. It should. The should is doing a lot of work in that sentence, is all I'm saying.
Correct. Correct. But you know why? Because we're on the eve of camp. A lot of ball game left.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah,
it's true. Also on offense, they have currently, I love this fact, three wide receivers who have played more than one snap in an NFL game.
Awesome.
That's kind of amazing to me.
I love that.
I love the idea that this group is going to grow together. Like, it is insanely young. Like, complete outlier to how most NFL teams build their rosters. And I love it. I love it. I love the fact that these guys, yes, will make mistakes. There will undoubtedly be communication errors, what have you. But, man, the upside here, the ability to grow, the ability for this team to grow together, I'm so excited. I can't, Corey, I can't contain my excitement when it comes to this wide receiving group and what is possible. There's so much talent. It's all untapped. It's all unproven. I can't wait for them to prove it. I'm all in. Can't wait.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, what's funny is if you put offensive line have played more than one, three offensive linemen have played more than one snap, you'd be a little bit, I'd have a heart attack right now.
That'd be a little,
on wide receivers, it's exciting. Wide receivers, it's exciting.
Yeah. I agree.
It really is, especially given, I think what's exciting about it is given the level of play by those wide receivers we're talking about, especially two of them. You know, there's a lot of juice, a lot of upside, a lot of talent that even an idiot like me can see is real.
I'm down with it. Hey, you know what could happen? Now, we were talking about coulds, shoulds, what have yous. You know what could happen? The Packers could finally lean on their running backs. I know. I know it's crazy. I know it's insane. I know they got a former first-round pick at quarterback. I know they got all this talent at wide receiver. I mean, they've got an offensive line. I'm just positing a theory here. The Packers could finally lean on their running. I thought they were going to do it last year. I thought that was blazingly obvious that it needed to happen. Apparently, people inside 1265 Lombardi and their infinite wisdom disagreed. But I will say, fine, the Packers could finally lean on their running backs. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, and company could really have a banner year this year. And I really hope it happens because they got the talent. They got the talent. They got the tools. They got the talent. It's Miller time.
I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think we're going to think that they're going to, and I just don't think
you know what's funny, Corey? Is I agree. That's why I say could. You know, like you're talking about should in the last graphic doing all that work. Could, absolutely doing all the work here because
like,
I'm with you. I don't expect it to happen, but they could.
A.J. Dillon. I love A.J. Dillon as a person, as a man, as a player. He's a beast. And I still feel like Matt, it's like A.J. Dillon was just dumped on him by Brian. It just feels that way.
I totally feel you. I agree.
You know, and like we used to be able to blame QB1, and now we have no one to blame because like even Mark said it in the shareholder meeting. Mark said it himself in the shareholder meeting. I can't remember the exact quote, but he did say something about that on how Aaron has had a little bit more leeway. It was interesting because he kind of let that out of the bag a little bit.
It was interesting. And he also said, though, which is, I find this fascinating because he does
he's like the grandpa. He's like the uncle who says all the shit.
Uncle.
Like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, my cousin's gay. And then everybody's like, uncle, no. He doesn't come out yet. And, like, he's that guy. He's like, he says the shit.
Oh,
and you're just like, yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought, Mark. Thanks. That's exactly what I thought was happening. Thanks for validating my fandom.
The introductory press conference for Matt, when he was like, I gave him some bullshit. Oh, sorry.
We use that all the time. We use that as a meme all the time.
That is such a great, but that is such a great window into Mark Murphy. It's because it's so true. Like, I gave him some bullshit. It's like, yeah,
well, you can tell. Okay, case in point, though. Case in point. Like, okay, I give Packers marketing all kinds of hard times for Packers everywhere.
Right, right.
Because they'll have Mark. So Mark shows up in London, and everybody's drunk in London at a bar, and Mark's
having a good time, right?
Mark's like, let me tell you the history of how we got to London. And you're just like, bro, just say, hey, we're going to have an awesome game. We're going to kick the Giants' ass. Okay, go Packers. Yay. Everybody loves you. Shut the fuck up. Dude, he's like, well, then I was thinking about this. And then I was in the NFL meeting. And I'm asleep, Mark. I'm asleep, bro. But he did. He did drop some nuggets, though, in that presser, though. Aaron had a little bit more leeway, and so there should be more running game because of that. It was something like that. Did I decipher that? Well, you might have the exact quote. I don't have the exact quote.
No, he talked about what was interesting to me is what he expects to happen this year in regards to, like, it's so funny because Matt 100 billion % always kind of deflects anytime it gets brought up, like, oh, we're going to see Matt's offense. Oh, Matt can finally run his offense. And Matt, oh, he did it today. Like, no, well, he always deflects, whatever. But he knows what that means. And Mark intimated that, oh, I think we'll see a little more, you know, a bit more leaning on the running game. And off of that, more play action, which, by the way, makes all the sense in the world. I don't think that's telling tales out of school. I don't think he's revealing any secrets.
But I don't think he's right, though. And Matt dumped that. Matt dumped on that idea. Right. That's what's crazy. That's what goes back to we should lean more on the running game. But if you listen to Matt yesterday, it didn't sound like we're leaning on the running game to me.
Oh, okay. He's not going to say shit out of the gate. You know that. Like, they're going to, like, let camp play out. We'll get to the preseason and they'll have all sorts of plays where it's like, oh, what does this mean for the season? It doesn't mean anything. Nothing we see for the next month means anything when it comes to game planning for specific opponents and specific schemes on defense, blah, 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 blah. But I did love that Mark, like, straight up was like, yeah, I think we'll see a little bit more of Matt's offense. It's like, your coach has literally been trying to beat that back all offseason. And you're just out here going, yeah, no, no, no. Yeah. Every fan out there, you're right. Don't worry about it. You're right.
Well, and you know, I know we call him the drunk uncle, but I do think he's kind of learned over time that he can be misdirection man and a payoff. And there's no penalty for it besides us talking about
he
it.
He knows know what, I mean?
Which
what
is
he's
literally
doing.
Nothing. Yeah.
He knows what he's
it's
doing.
It's literally
zero
misdirection.
Doubt.
It's just misdirection.
Zero doubt. Look at his interview at the WIAA girls tournament. Like, when the whole Rodgers thing was still up in the air, he knew exactly what he was doing. And he was right, by the way.
Yep.
He only told the truth, you know?
He took the narrative back by doing that, right? It's like he basically was like, this is not a narrative that one person should have when we're an organization.
It's the Don Draper, right? You don't like what they're saying? Change the conversation. 100%. 100%. All right. Let's talk about the defense. Corey, your favorite subject. Let's go. Well, wait, your favorite subject's coming up. But right now we're going to talk about the defense and the fact that fool me once, Joe Barry. You've had your once. I was so excited after that 49ers playoff game. I cannot begin to tell you. And then you get into the training camp, right? Last summer, where they're like so physical up front. And they're really causing the Packers problems on offense. And you're just like, oh, that's a continuation of what we saw in that playoff game. Here we go. We're ready to dominate. We're ready to be physical. We're ready to dictate. And then we get to week one in Minnesota, and it's all in garbage. And I hear every excuse maker out there, well, if you take away four plays, those four plays happened where our secondary looked like they were in a clown car. I'm done with the excuses. I'm done. I want a high level defense. I don't. People talk about rankings and like top five or whatever, top 10, whatever. No. I don't care about the rankings.
Top 15.
I don't care about rankings.
I want a good defense. I understand.
I want a defense that I'm not like fucking embarrassed by every other week.
Here's the thing about the Green Bay Packers defense since 1993, let's call it. Since 1993, when the Green Bay Packers defense is in the top 15, good things happen. Right. So that's all we need. Top 15, and then there's one other stat I really like. There's another stat that always gets a team in the playoffs and usually gets them
further. I love that you just called good things happen a stat. That's good. I like it.
I didn't call anything a stat. I never said stat.
One other stat. What was the other stat? You just said one other stat I like. What?
Oh, right. So I inferred that. Okay. Okay. Words matter. Words matter. I've been immunized. Okay. So one other stat that I like is when a team has defensive turnovers. That usually gets a team really – St. Louis Rams back in the day, they had a really high turnover rate, the greatest show on turf. And Packers 2010 had a really high turnover rate. When we have a good turnover rate on the defense,
Tom Capers' crew, they always brought the turnovers. I hear you. And
a high turnover rate can get you further ahead. Like you can have all other shitty stats, but you can still be really awesome. But here's the thing that I want. I want this for Amar really badly. One of our fans on Cheesehead TV.
Oh, dude! Right.
I want Joe Barry. I want the Packers to play lights out with Joe Barry this year because I want him to have to eat shit.
I don't know why. I don't want him to eat shit, but I want him.
Okay, that was a little harsh. I love Amar, but I do want him to. I just want him to have to say Joe Barry's good because
constant,
I know how much that's going to pain him if he has to do it.
In his Joe Barry hate. There is zero doubt.
Yeah.
You and I, we went to acting school. The idea of a character's spine, right? Like everything hangs off of this. That for Amar is hating Joe Barry. There is zero doubt. So
I'm sure he's not live right now, and I didn't mean eat shit, but I don't want him to eat shit. But yeah, close to that. As close to eating shit as possible without acting.
A mea culpa. That would be great. A little like, okay, Joe did it. Hey, but look, I think Amar is representative of a boatload of Packers fans who feel the same way. So I understand. You know
what
I mean?
More people hate Joe Barry as Packer fans. If the poll was, do you hate Joe Barry? Do you love Joe Barry? Joe Barry or do you dislike Joe Barry? I'm pretty sure that like 80% would be hate.
Yeah.
And 20% would be dislike. And 0.1% would be low.
That might be low. I feel you. Which, by the way, speaking of Joe Barry, shout out to Joe for going to Lake Tahoe with family and friends and recording a TikTok, which I did not pull for this program. Though I did want to, but I thought, like, let the man live. I only know about this, by the way, because someone tagged me in the comments of the TikTok and was like, is this Joe Barry? Shouldn't he be fixing our defense or some nonsense like that?
Oh, wait, Joe Barry has a TikTok?
No, well, I think it was his.
I need to follow this.
Either his kid or one of their friend's kids had posted. It was like, you know, the parents and the kids doing an ABBA song. It was a joke about how the dads had made all the money and they were all out having a great time at Lake Tahoe, blah, 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 blah. It was a fun TikTok with their families. It's like everyone in the NFL at this point was on vacation, literally every human in the league. And this dude is like, shouldn't he be fixing our defense? It's like, no, he's on vacation. Let the man live.
Also, everybody gets a vacation in this world. Everybody should. If the 0.1% just gave away their vacation to everybody else, then everybody could have like 20 days. So there you go.
Next up, bringing it back to football. Bringing it back to football. Oh, Amar's here, by the way.
He is? Question. Did he hear what I said?
The question.
He just got here.
He's a Carry the G Club member. You best believe he's here. All right.
Yeah, I see.
Next up, questions abound on this defense at defensive line, edge, and safety. Look, the safety thing is like off the chain. Like the fact that Darnell Savage is your leader in the clubhouse at the safety position. Yep. Yikes. I mean, no one is under more pressure than Darnell Savage entering this season. Zero humans. I mean, I understand the Jordan Love component, but like he's going to have a long leash, right? Darnell Savage has got to work. He's got to make it happen. There is zero doubt.
Let's be honest. Okay. I don't want to, it's pre-camp. Okay. And I feel a little jaded in the show. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know where my optimism went. It went out the door, I think, as soon as I spilled my beer. But let's be real for one second about Darnell Savage. Okay. Right. What Packer fans, what do you think the over or the under is on Darnell Savage having a good year? I feel like you're going to take the under on this all day. I just feel like the likelihood of this happening based on what we saw last year is low, very low.
It's hard. Look, I hate to say that. After he got demoted twice. Here's the thing. People talk about him being, quote, benched, right? And, yeah, to an extent that's true. But he got demoted twice. He went from, like, a regular part of the, like, the starting group to, oh, we're just going to play you in the nickel to, oh, we're just going to play you in the dime to, like, we're, like, really going to actively try to keep you off the field. Like, that is just a bad look for a former first-round pick. I'm rooting for Darnell. I don't understand why Brian picked up his fifth-year option last year. I don't understand why it took so long for them to make the adjustment they did last year.
No options.
Well, no, I'm talking about, yeah. I mean, but then we could.
Well, that's what I mean. Anyway. He picked up his fifth-year option because he has no other options. No, Amos is going to go somewhere else. What has he got?
So,
he's got a whole
like,
lot of nothing.
I just want this kid to produce in this system because it's very clear he was on an ascension. He was doing well in Petten's system. As soon as Joe got to town, it all just, I mean, I'm not even talking about like it took a slight dip. It disappeared, you know?
Oh, so we're blaming this on Joe Barry too?
I don't know about Joe Barry, but the system doesn't suit his strengths. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. I don't think that's wild to say. I mean, the numbers are there,
so
and it's not just 1 year. Multiple
so
years.
So basically,
you know?
Simone Biles' husband is going to be our answer. All right.
I've been saying all offseason I like Jonathan Owens. I think he is a great addition, and I love his trajectory as a player. It's from a guy who was, you know, special teams, just kind of getting spot duty to, okay, now where he's in the mix regularly to a starter. And I get he wasn't, like, the greatest player last year, but he's continuing to ascend. And I think that was smart on the Packers' part to pick him up. Finally, 8 first-round picks. This comes back, and I understand what Joe said at his presser this offseason when this was, you know, discussed and or posited. There's always pressure in the NFL. You're always under the microscope. You always have to deliver. I get all that, Joe, but goddamn, man, 8 first-round picks on defense. And I get it, man. Not all of them are – like living up to those expectations. Not only 8 first round picks.
Most of those first round picks, Toledo, by the way, were taken after 15. So let's be real.
Sure, fine.
It's the Mariana's fucking trench after 15, though. Let's be real, okay?
Sometimes. Depends on the year.
Sometimes!
I hear you.
There is a point in the first round of every year where it's literally like, here are the good players that are like, okay, they're going to, you know. I mean, look, A.J. Hawk was taken in the 7th round. He didn't even do 7th round numbers, bro. Let's be real.
Dude. No. You're thinking.
Dude.
7th round.
Anybody.
A.J. Hawk was taken in the 1st round. A.J.
No, but he was taken 7th. Seventh in the 1st round. That's what I meant. I said 7. I said 7. I didn't mean the 7th round. But yeah, he was taken numero 7, and he was not good.
He was okay. He was probably as good as Blake
Martinez.
He was middling. Fourth round. So there you go.
He was as good as a player taken in the 4th round. Exactly.
He did not meet expectations. Exactly.
I mean, he did better than Tony Mandrich. Other than that, you know.
That's true. That's fair. Finally, now it is your favorite.
He did better than Justin Harrell, too, to be honest with you. He did better than Justin Harrell.
He did. No doubt.
Sorry.
Real quick, we got to get to We got to get to WeFence. We got to get to special teams, Corey. It's your favorite part of the part of the operation here.
Is AJ Hawk one of the is he in the top 10 worst first round draft picks? He's in the top 10, I feel like. This is a good one for watch party. I'm gonna figure this out for next watch party. Yeah, Packers history.
On Packers history, that's my question here. Like NFL history,
yeah, Packers draft history. Is he in the top 10 of all time worst first rounders taken in the first round?
So you mean like most disappointing? Like most didn't lead.
Yeah, people who didn't live up to their expectations.
Maybe. I guess it depends on who you ask. I wouldn't put him there, but I know a lot of Packer fans probably would.
Oh, yeah. Hawk was number five. Thank you, Joe Mailman. Thank you. He was number five, not number seven. My bad. Number five. Even more disappointing. Even more disappointing.
So, Corey, they drafted a kicker. I know you were not here on Cheesehead TV live while we did our three-day marathon coverage of the draft. So I need your albeit belated response. I know you were undoubtedly following along and knowing what was going on Twitter or what have you while you were other places during the draft. How did you feel when you learned you historically, famously hating the idea of using a draft pick on a kicker? How'd you feel about that?
Not good. Didn't feel good about it. Gonna be honest with you.
Okay.
Look, at the end of the day, Brian knows a lot more than me, and I'm real with that. I've been real with that for a long time.
Fair.
You know?
That's fair.
And I have faith in Brian. I don't have any faith in Mark. I got a little bit of faith in Matt, but I got faith in Brian. Of the triangle, I think the spear of the triangle.
Really? Of the triangle? Brian's? Oh, interesting. That's interesting. All right.
The biggest issue is still I should have saved my little thing about the triangle. The biggest problem in the triangle is and we have yet to see that nobody's really talking about is, you know, Brian and Matt. You know, the connection between the two. Are they really
I talked
the
about it last
page?
Year. I'm fascinated to see how it plays out this year. Like now that the specter, the over, you know, Aaron Rodgers is no longer in town. You know what I mean? Like that changes the whole dynamic.
But does it change like how you're going to do like, oh, I'm in a 3-4 and I like these kind of linebackers and I like this kind of safety and I like this kind of, you know what I mean? Does it really change that? And I feel like that's the page he's not really connecting on, you know? You know, like especially taking guys in the draft, you know, you watch like Draft Day and I know that Draft Day was a bullshit movie, but like, you know, Kevin Costner's like famously is telling the coach to fuck off and he disciplined, you know, is it like, is it more like that?
So the question is,
or is it more like, are you
like
appeasing
that behind
the coach,
closed doors?
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I feel you. Well, like, yeah, that's a whole other podcast right there. Cause
I mean, I'm surprised. Has PFF done a thing on taking special team and taking kickers and punters in the draft and whether it's actually valuable or not?
Wait, am I having a stroke? Did you just ask for PFF's information?
Like, well, that's the kind of information that a bunch of data. What? This is the thing. If I'm going to go with data analytics nerds, I'm going to go to PFF. I mean, shit. And like only like who else tries to value like
Sumner Sports? You got to go with our boy Eric.
Team was gonna take them, I guess they're valuable. I don't know. I just don't buy it. I don't buy it.
I feel you, man. I feel you. The other thing, the other aspect of that I'm kind of fascinated with when it comes to special teams this year is Keyshawn Nixon had such an amazing, basically half season as a returner, so electrifying. But then you look at that Detroit game, win or go home, getting in the playoffs, and Detroit did a phenomenal job of absolutely neutralizing Keyshawn Nixon. I'm really curious to see if teams kind of follow that blueprint because they did a great job of like corner kicking, not getting into the end zone, but making sure that they would have kind of basically having him surrounded in the corner in play and okay, you're not going to bust one. You're not going to bust not only obviously not going to bust a huge touchdown run, but you're not going to bust a good return, a big return on us. I'm like, look, you're going to need the kicker to do it. You're going to need a disciplined coverage unit. But man, I'm telling you that if you look at the blueprint as how do you slow Keyshawn Nixon down, that game that game is it. And I'm Rich Bisaccia has got his work cut out for him to kind of figure out how to bust that open. You know, we shall see. We shall see. All right, Corey, you ready? You ready,
buddy? Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Traditionally, Corey Behnke, this is a time where we look at things that have happened within the week, because that is what it's called, This Week in the Packer blogosphere. But before we go any further, I want to give a shout out to a man in the comment section. Tom Grossi, you are a legend. Everything you did in the month of June is absolutely amazing, and cannot give you anything but love and respect. And I hope I see you in Green Bay. I'm going to be there next week. Are you coming to camp? Let's go. Let's do it.
Who's Tom Grossi? Just kidding.
He's a dude. He's a dude who likes the Packers.
He's a good dude. Does he like the Packers though? Okay. Let's talk about this for a second. Okay. I saw this guy amazingly raise. I believe he got almost to $500,000, right? It was crazy. I may have gotten over, so I'm an idiot if I but anyway.
I got a little bone to pick right there.
Yeah. He's still, you know, I kind of feel like during this whole thing, he went over to the dark side as a fan, though. I'm going to be honest with you. He had a lot of jerseys on. He had a lot of cheerleaders from other teams and presidents and owners just kind of like seducing him and teasing him and being like, Tom, come to our side.
He's doing dances.
Like, I don't think it's like, bro, like, you know, I don't know. Is he a Packer fan? Is he a Packer fan?
Yes, of course he is.
I don't know. We're going to have to find out. We're going to have to find out during training camp.
He's
actually
a smart
Packer fan. You know what I'm excited about with Tom Grossi for training camp is the return of Tom Grossi. Although this time we've got to get it on camera. Oh my God. I think you were there when I pulled the lemon drop South American hot peppers. I've recently found out they're 15,000 to 30,000 Scoville. And I pull it out of the garden and Tom's like, oh yeah, I can eat peppers. And like, he had no idea, bro. He ate the entire pepper and like, and I could not believe this guy eating this pepper, and like the look on his face, it was like so genius. For like 20 minutes, he could not believe how hot it was, but he was, you know, like there were a lot of people around and he was trying to like, he saved face like so well. It was like, it was just so funny when people eat a hot pepper and you know, I watch Hot Ones and stuff and it's just so funny. But yeah, I have some lemon drops for you there, Tom. I'm ready. I got some, and they're perfect.
Well, apparently he'll be in town mid August. So be ready.
Yep,
be ready. Actually, I did want to give a shout out to a Hall of Famer. Are you asking Packers Hall of Famer? No, Pro Football Hall of Famer, who is also now a member of the board of the Green Bay Packers. That's right. It's Leroy Butler. Look at this guy. I love this guy. I love coming to thank all fans and shareholders, Packers, to say how much we love and respect our fans worldwide. Truly America's team, in my opinion. Go Pack, go. I mean, where else? Where else does this happen? Where a dude not only like plays and becomes a legend and invents the Lambeau Leap or whatever, all of that, but then is like held out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, even though he should have been in long ago, and then finally gets in. And how does he celebrate? By becoming a member of the board of the team. I love this. I love Leroy. I'm so happy for him. He just seems so happy. His podcast, by the way, make sure you check it out. Him and Gary Ellerson, they do great stuff. Shout out to Leroy Butler. Just awesome. Just awesome. I just love it. I just love it. That's just me.
I was trying to look over his shoulder to see who was over there. I thought it was Matt Schneidman. There was somebody over his shoulder. Yeah, I love me some Leroy Butler. What's not to love? It's an amazing story, and he's an amazing anchor here in Wisconsin.
100%.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, by the way, Cecil Isbell and James Lofton are still in the mix, right?
Well, James Lofton's already a Hall of Famer, but Sterling Sharp.
Oh, sorry. Sterling Sharp. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. the 80s James Lofton. the 90s James Lofton. But see, so they're both in the mix.
Isbell and Sharp are still in the mix. I gave up kind of like holding my breath a long time ago, right? Like, there are so many. I talked about this a little bit on Daily. There are so many great, worthy candidates in the senior kind of bracket, right? So, like, every one of those dudes should be in my estimation. Like, there's no doubt. Like, not just the former Packers, but all of them. They're all amazing players who played at such an insanely high level to even be in consideration. So, I'm not, like, you know, like I said, holding my breath, but Isbell, I think, is probably, look, much to Wes Hodquist's chagrin, I would be surprised if he ever gets in. However, Sterling still got a chance, and I'm obviously pulling for him, no doubt.
Of all the old Packers, I feel like Isbell has the best chance, honestly, of all of them because of the forward pass and how revered the forward pass
The forward pass and his numbers.
And the fact
his
that he wasn't quarterback and his the numbers years. As a quarterback yeah. are crazy.
Exactly. Next up, ladies and gentlemen, so if anyone used to watch Carry the G with AJ Dillon here on this YouTube channel a couple years ago, we used to do like a segment with Tyler, our social guy, you know, just basically going over what you know AJ was doing online every week. And while I would love to get Tyler on here every week for this segment, specifically for Blogosphere, unfortunately, that just can't happen scheduling wise, but we will be, ladies and gentlemen, featuring a Tyler TikTok here during Blogosphere every single week. He is killing it on the Cheesehead TV TikTok, including this one right here. Roll it.
If you thought the days of having an MVP and champion quarterback in Green Bay, Wisconsin were all but over until Jordan Love wins one, of course, you couldn't be more wrong, all right? The Green Bay Packers just signed Alex McGough, the USFL MVP and champion, all right? This guy is an absolute gamer. Definitely going to be a fun camp story to watch. 67.4 completion percentage, 2,100 yards. He broke records with over 20 touchdowns, QBR of 108.3. He rushed for 403 yards and 5 touchdowns on just 70 carries. And, of course, like I said, he's an MVP and a champion in the USFL. Look, nothing more than a camp arm, probably. Not going to dethrone Air Jordan, right, the heir apparent at this point. But it definitely will be fun to watch. Again, he's an absolute gamer. Just check out his highlights. It'll be a fun camp story for sure.
Every week, baby. Let's do it. I mean, I'm set.
I like it.
What's hilarious is that there was a comment in that, like, to that video about, like, oh, he's going to, like, dethrone Jordan Love. And Tyler made a response and blah, blah, blah. It's so good. Tyler does yeoman's work, not only with our social media, but on that specific platform. Every week, Tyler's TikTok. Looking forward to it. I can't wait. And one other thing, Corey, if you'll allow me, I cannot wait for, is the launch of a brand new weekly podcast here at Cheesehead TV. Ladies and gentlemen, starting when I return from camp, it's Carry the G in MKE. Camille Davis and I, We're gonna rip it up, people. I'm telling you, this woman carries the G. You may know her from the technical podcast. You may know her from her appearances every week on Locked On Bucks, but she absolutely carries the G. I've been watching her kind of content now for the last about a year or so. She knows her Packers. She knows her stuff. We're gonna be talking each and every week here on Cheesehead TV. I can't wait. Carry the G in MKE. She's our Milwaukee correspondent, if you will, here at Cheesehead TV. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Awesome.
Corey, I know you'll be listening every week.
Oh, yeah.
You're already a big fan.
Yeah, I am. I'm a big fan of Cheesehead TV.
You better be. Finally, speaking of Cheesehead TV, the Cheesehead TV store is off the hook, people. It's off the chain. Holy cow, Brent has dropped all sorts of great stuff, including this great new shirt, QB1. That's what he is, people. It's not an exaggeration. That's who he is. He's QB1. But that's not the only thing. We got plenty more, all sorts of stuff. Look at these designs, all this new stuff. in the Cheesehead TV store. I'm telling you, that jacket, that rain jacket, that's, I'm all about that life. I need that. But so much great new merch in the Cheesehead TV store. You can find it here on YouTube, a link to it on the video down below, links down below. You can find it on cheeseheadtv.com on the homepage. There's a button shop. You can find it there. So much new great stuff ready, getting ready for the season. I can't wait. I'm wearing my All You Need Is Love t-shirt. That's available in the store. Do it, people. Get on it. Corey, I know you're going to be spending too much money.
I have a Carry the G shirt on right now.
There you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. It's looking good. Looking good.
I did not drink all these beers just now.
Let's letting you know. No, I did. No, but let's hear from the folks on YouTube, shall we? We got
YouTube
comments.
Let me go to the queue, yeah. All right, we got Ryan Willie. Ryan Willie, what does Corey think about Carlson replacing Crosby? I mean, look, Crosby was ready to go out the door. I don't know why we kept Crosby as long as we did. We only did it out of loyalty. He kind of was slipping. I know everybody's going to say he wasn't, but he was. I feel good about it. I don't feel good about it being a draft pick. Luke Carnes, welcome back. Carry the G and go Pack Go. Thank you, Luke. Haven't seen Luke on
Patreon
in a while, by the way. Where is he?
I know. He did mention that on Twitter yesterday, or I'm sorry, X, that he has been MIA as of late. But I think I get it. Like, it's the off season, right? Until tomorrow. So I get why people have not been coming every single week. But, you know, hey, those happy hours, they're off the hook. They're a lot of fun. I hope everyone starts jumping back on board starting tomorrow night.
Overshadow Sean, thanks for Super Chat. Football. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to think that we're back here. It's just crazy. You talk about it, and then it gets here. It's really nice. Actually, yesterday I was really excited about it. I didn't think I would be, and then it always happens like
today,
this.
Today, not so much. Yesterday, very excited.
No, I'm as excited. It's just yesterday there's crowds, you know, and that's really what it is. If you were here, Nagler, you wouldn't understand. Let's just say that.
Correct.
You know, there's crowds. It's like today it's just like press stuff. It's stuff inside the building. But like when there's stuff outside that like human beings are showing up for, like practice tomorrow, it'll have that vibe.
It's going, baby.
Then we
it's
have
going.
Train fan forever Miller. True Packer fans would always hit the like button. Hey, thank you for the super chat. Appreciate you.
Thanks for the super chat. Thank you. Hit the like button, people. Do it.
Then we got Heath Soder, Barry Sanders. Oh, God. Barry Sanders averaged 5 yards per carry for his career. The guy that they give 3.5 attempts across multiple games is averaging 5.1. So he's talking about running backs.
But lack of use of Aaron Jones.
Soder, they have to give the person the ball in order for them to do anything. Thank you for the super chat, though.
You should do it.
Also, every quarterback that you liked growing up sucked. Mr. Englewood 77, thanks for the super chat. Salute to Banky for standing up to AR-12 last year, not just last year, all his shit all the time. But you know what? I hope the Bears do really awesome. Oh, Barry, sorry. Hello. I thought he played for the Bears. I hope the Jets do amazing because I want those draft picks. I want those draft. Don't we? What do we get?
No, sir. You want them to do
the
poorly.
The Jets?
Yes. The worse they do, the better the draft picks.
Oh, I thought it's the better he does. No, he just has to play, right? He has to play 85% of his snaps.
65%, something like that.
What's that? So all he has to do is play how many games then? Like 6 games? 7 games? 8 games? No, that's 50.
A little bit more than that. But
9.5 games. So higher, I want him to play 9.5 games. Oh, sweet. Yeah, I want them to suck then. I love how the poop emoji shows up on this chat, by the way. I'm kind of not moving on to the next thing because I like that. I like how that happens. I really like it. Wait, I got to add. Hold on.
Amazing.
All right, let me go back to this. All right, here we go. Kevin McConville, thanks for Super Chat. Banky, missed you, man. Kevin. Can we get a Bukowski rant? I saw that nerd talk trash about Pulp Fiction on Twitter this summer. Long off season. Yeah, well, I know things about Peter Bukowski. I know things.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I know things.
Oh, no.
I know things.
Don't say that.
I study him for a living. I know him better than anybody else. That's all I'm going to say to that. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, he hasn't annoyed me. You know who annoyed me already is what's his name, who's walking with Domovsky and Matt Schneidman and Wes, who's like, are you sure about what did he do with MVS?
Oh, he's Mark always Daniels.
On the UW. Yeah, Mark Daniels. And then like,
come on now.
Domovsky was like, and Wes, whatever.
Yeah, I know, bro. I saw that.
Whatever. You only get, you know, Nagler, you only get so many tries before it's like, really, bro? Really? Like, come on. What are you doing? What are we doing here?
I feel it.
What are we doing here? Why are we putting up with this? I have a low tolerance. I don't know what it is, but it's low. It's very low. Hey, Justin, speaking of, thanks for the super chat, Justin. Who in the media will Banky start beef with this year? That's a very good question.
We're all waiting. Okay, Justin, we're all waiting to find this out. But some of us, more than others, because some of us will have to deal with whoever it is.
Not really anymore, because I pretty much deal with it more. Because I live here now, most people come at me directly now. It's really funny. Mm-hmm. It's rare that you have to put up with anything. Also, everybody knows my antics now, so it's hard for people to get annoyed by me unless they're new. You know?
That is true. That is true. I literally had some of the Packers. You said when the Packers got awarded the NFL draft, and you instantly shit on their video resolution. I had someone with the Packers text me. He's like, is it bad? We're here. And it looks good on our end. I'm like, it's just Banky being Banky. Like, you just got to move past it. Like, just keep going. You're doing fine. You're doing great, sweetie.
What did I – I don't remember. I don't even remember doing that.
Yeah, you were because it was the press conference. It looks like shit. Yeah, the press conference.
Well, it did. God, it did. Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Where was I? Oh yeah, who am I going to start beef with this year?
I don't know.
Who can I do? Maybe, you know what, at the reporters get together. What are we calling that?
Yes.
We need to have the secret.
The media
we need
gathering.
To have a code word
I call
for
it
that.
In my invite to people, I call it the media gathering, cuz not everyone there is a reporter. You know, there's people from iHeart, there's people from the beat.
Media camp.
Media camp.
Media training camp. Yeah. So when we go there, I'm going to take a poll of all the media people and find out who would like me to up their engagement exponentially. And then we'll see.
That'll work.
You know?
That'll work.
And it may,
that'll
work. If they ask for it, it's even better, right? Heath Soder. Thanks, Super Chat. I love the Packers. The way they treat me here is second to none. Someone who is no longer
Campbell
in town
said,
might just
Campbell's,
be clueless.
Campbell said. That's an important part that you missed.
Oh, Campbell. Who's Campbell?
Devondre Campbell. Devondre Campbell.
Oh, Devondre Campbell. Oh, yeah. Devondre Campbell said, I quote, I love the Packers. The way they treat me here is second to none. Someone who is no longer in town might just be clueless. Interesting.
Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting.
Where the hell is BJ Raji? Where is he? That's a great question.
I just saw that in the chat and I was like,
where is he? Like so BJ Raji.
I was like, there's no way we're gonna touch that, but it's old school, but I love
seriously,
it.
Seriously, like where is he? He's like the greatest Packer player of the last 15 years that just fucking dropped off the face of the earth. Where is the guy?
Ask Ryan Wood. Ryan Wood had the scoop back in the day. I have no idea.
What did he do with it?
I don't know.
Mike B, should Wes Hodd replace Corey? Yes. Yes.
No, yes. No. Yes. Wes Hodd ain't gonna start beef with anybody. Wes Hodd ain't gonna get out here and be like, that guy or that dude needs to go or whatever. Like,
no.
Wes Hodd ain't gonna get out here and just make up stats the way Corey does. Like, no.
No.
No. No. The entertainment
He's
value.
He's in Chipotle,
as much
New
as
Jersey,
I love you,
seriously?
Wes. I love you, Wes. But yeah, no, that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work.
Then we got Tom Grassi. Packer transplants is back. The world is healing. You know, this used
Love
to be
you, Tom.
This used to be Tom. This used to be Tom's favorite show. I'm just gonna say that. I don't know if it is anymore, but there was a time,
a long time ago.
then we got Big B, and I had to put this okay because Big B, Vern, Big B
is here.
Who is how old? 17?
Around there, yeah.
Okay, let's just say 17. He's not 18 yet.
He's right.
As soon as
he's right.
He's right.
He's
okay,
correct.
But here's the thing, Packer fans. A 17-year-old knows more about the Packers than anybody watching this chat right now, okay? Including myself, almost.
Okay,
I taught him everything he knows. Mike, thanks for the super chat. Malik Heath makes the 53 is my hot take. What do you think about that?
Thanks. Ooh, ooh, bold call right there. Although I will say, Mike, you're following. I'm glad you're following instructions, because Justice and I, when we had our talk a couple like weeks ago, we did say, like, now's the time. You got to plant your flag right now, because look, these dudes are about to get out on the field, and you'll be like, oh, every time Malik Heath does something well, you can say, I called it. I said he was going to. And then, like, you know, when he doesn't do anything well, you can be like, oh, I didn't say anything. I don't know what you're talking about. You got to, like, ride or die right now with your dude. Make your call. So, Mike, I love it. I love that you're calling it. I need to wait to see it with pads on. That's it. That's all my thing. I was like, you know, the pads come on. That's when you start to separate, right? Homeboy apparently had a great offseason. Got in the mix with the ones. I'm all for it. Like, I'm very excited for him. But you got to do it when the pads come on, and it's not just t-shirts and shorts. That's it. That's me.
I feel like
that's me.
I feel like I could take Bukowski in a cage match. Okay. I don't. Am I just thinking?
Corey, we always get this question. We get the question. We get the question. If you and Banky fought, who would win? We get this all the time throughout the years. And I always say, we never would, but you would win because you would cheat. So that's why you would win in a cage match.
I feel like I could take Bukowski, though. He's a little too worried about how his face looks, and I'm not. So, Bucky Boyd, thanks for the super chat. This is the year of repairing the triangle. Go Pack, go. I like the way you're thinking.
Repairing the triangle. That's really good.
Repair the triangle.
That's a good shirt. Right,
Jerry
there.
Sturzinger, thank you for the super chat. Any thought on having a carry the G player of the game and they get a six pack? That's a good question. No thoughts?
That thought, but that's a great idea. Let's do it. Although some of the players are not beer drinkers. But I'm down with that. I do like the idea of a carry the G player of the game.
Yeah.
We need to do that. Speaking of which, carry the G.
Yeah, you didn't talk about that there in your script.
We're very close. I did, Corey, but then I took it out because I was like,
we're about to make a major announcement. It's going to be season two of Carry the G, and probably by next show we should have everything locked down, but it's coming out.
We're very close.
To be here. Dylan Bird, thanks for Super Chat. Nagler in town for Saints game. Also, will y'all be meeting before games again this year? I'll be trying to make fam love the pack instead of Saints help. Nice.
Good luck with that. We won't be doing the pregame stuff with the Rush Center again this year. The Saints game, I'm just going to say yes because we're live and I want to be there at the home opener. So there you go. Yeah, I'll be there.
AJ Vincent, thanks for Super Chat. I've asked this to Nags this offseason. So, Corey, what's a successful season for the 2023 Packers in your mind?
Great question, AJ.
Well, here's the thing. The 2022 Green Bay Packers did not make the playoffs. So, for me, I feel like if we just make the playoffs this year, we have had a very successful season. Whatever we do in the playoffs is not a big deal. But I'm definitely, with the way the NFC North looks, with the way that our team looks, and you know, a couple things have to gel for this team to be successful, and they're not out of reach by any stretch of the imagination. We talked about top 15 defense. If the offense, right, you know, gets gelling, which there's no reason it shouldn't. Again, Jordan Love does not have to do a lot. He's literally got to be competent. He could be a C-plus student, and this offense could take off, honestly, especially if, like we said, Matt leans on the running game. So, yeah, I mean, you look at teams, you know, I wish I knew more about NFL teams, other NFL teams, but like you see these teams in the playoffs that are very balanced and they attack people on multiple fronts. And imagine if the Green Bay Packers were that, because we're not relying on a superstar because there is no superstar to rely on. And that's very, very exciting.
Look, so the San Francisco making the playoffs is, rode Brock Purdy to the NFC Championship game. You know what I mean? Yep.
Or the Jacksonville Jaguars with what's his name, who sucked. That guy sucked. He was so freaking terrible. What year was that? He was the worst quarterback of like the entire league, and the Jacksonville Jaguars almost went to the AFC Championship game. Shit was crazy.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you mean Blake Bortles against the
Blake Bortles. Yeah. He sucked, and he almost got. He now almost took them all the way. That shit was crazy.
Now look. Like, that's not a plan, right? The idea of like, oh, our quarterback only has to like not like fumble every time he takes the snap. Like, that's not the plan. I get that. But to your point, Corey, I agree that Jordan has to be, I'm not going to say just competent. He's got to be a little bit better than competent. He has to play well. Like, he doesn't have to be a superstar. That's the important point here. When you're looking at 2023, it's like, look, no, but whatever development comes after this year is great, but it's like for this season, like he just has to
make the playoffs
play well and continue to play well, and they could be in the playoff race.
To make the playoffs, he could overall be a C-plus quarterback. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. He could grade out as a C-plus. B-minus would be better, but all right, where are we at? Doug Hype TV. Let's
Doug
get to important.
Hype, what's up, Doug?
Thanks, Doug, for the super chat. Let's get to important matters. When new Banky cocktail and when can I try it? Okay, so for the Minnesota game, I already have a purple lemon drop that's really good. It has this lavender simple syrup that came from the garden. I actually had lavender that I dried out, and I make a simple syrup out of it. It's so freaking good. I cannot wait till Minnesota Vikings game is going to be off the chain, okay? I've already got, like, it's going to be crazy. I already have the local Brown County tickets that I won the lottery on. So I have 4 tickets to that I'm not going to go to. I'm going to give to my friends more than likely. But then I got friends coming from all over. It is going, like, if we can just beat the Vikings at home this year, honestly, that would just be amazing. Yeah. But yeah, looking forward to the purple lemon drop. Probably going to bring LaFleur Adora back. Not sure what I'm going to open the season with. I'm still working on that. But there's a lot of hype. It's probably going to be a little bit – it's going to have to come from the garden, to be honest with you. I have a new salsa right now that next year is every single ingredient in the salsa is coming directly from the garden. Like, I've got it all planned out. Awesome. This year's salsa, by the way, is – like 90% everything from the garden. So next year is going to be, So then we got Dustin Logan. Thanks, Super Chat. Corey, thank you for recommending Joe and Paige. They're killing my Shadow Lane remodel. Really appreciated the info. Go Pack Go. You're welcome, Dustin. I'm glad that's all working out for you, Dustin. Dustin lives on, he's a new homeowner on Shadow Lane. Getting some reno, done. Dylan Bird, thanks for Super Chat. Any chance to hang for the Saints game? Dylan really wants to hang on the Saints game, Nagler. So we're going to
let's go, Dylan. Let's do it. We'll figure it out. Lot one is open again. Let's do it.
Andre Bougie. I'm going to say Bougie, but it might be Boogie. So sorry if I totally messed up your name. Thank you for the Super Chat. Do the Packers solve their season opening game swoons this year? Ooh.
You know, the thing they got working for them is that the Bears were so bad last year and the Packers have owned them for so long. And I think they're going to be improved. But week one's always a crapshoot, right? It's always weird. It's always kind of crazy outcomes, blah, 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 blah. I don't think whatever, regardless of who wins or loses, I don't think it's going to be some insane outcome, like some beatdown. But I do think it'll be a toss-up. I hate to say it. It's like they got talent down there in Chicago. It's not like they're just like rolling out Sisters of the Poor. So, but yeah, I don't expect it'll be what it's been the last couple of years.
And I did want to say something I was thinking about I'm not even going to say where I was thinking about this, but it's where I do my thinking. Underage Packers are going to have to do a rebrand pretty soon, by the way. And I was thinking about this. What is going to be the new name? I literally was going to ask Big B and Joey this. Like, what's the strategy here, boys? Like, are you going to hire some new underage hosts and then they're going to keep the brand going? Like, what are we doing here? Right. What is the future? So at the end here,
of underage what is Packers. I know.
What is the future for underage Packers, and what are we rebranding this? I'm very fascinated by this. This is the post-camp question for the season, because we're getting close.
Sure. I love it.
Okay. That's all I got. That's all we got. Thank you.
Is that it?
Super chat. Really appreciate everybody showing up. It's awesome.
I love it. Speaking of people showing up, tomorrow night is our weekly happy hour for Patreon members. Patreon members are the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. We really cannot begin to express how much we appreciate each and every one of you. If you are a Patreon member, remember, if you subscribe to the podcast, if you're listening to this later on, and you're on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, you don't need to listen to the ads. Just become a Cheesehead TV Patreon member. Or if you are, all of the podcasts that we do at Cheesehead TV are available on Patreon sans ads. So we thank you exponentially for your support. Thank you so much. And by the way, all that stuff we were talking about earlier about all the new gear in the Cheesehead TV store, you get 10% off if you're a Cheesehead TV Patreon supporter. Thank you so much for the support. Speaking of support, shout out to everyone here on YouTube who is a Carry the G Club member. You guys absolutely dominate game days here during our watch parties. Watch parties will indeed be back this season. Thank you so much for the support. Corey, you got anything else, buddy?
Matt Mamba, they are currently searching for the Fountain of Youth. Please be patient.
Fair point.
Drinking age Packers. I mean, that's an easy rebrand. That's an easier rebrand than X, than fucking Twitter to X. Underage Packers to drinking age Packers. I love it. Genius. Sorry, I didn't think of that. I literally thought about that for 45 minutes today. I spent a lot of time thinking about
where would they go?
Because I saw Big B's tweet, and I was just like, what are they going to do when they're not the underage Packers anymore? I don't know.
I love that you're so concerned. What's funny is that you probably thought more about that than you're going to think about, like, the Cheesehead TV meeting we have on our calendars for tomorrow afternoon. So
no,
I look forward to.
I think about that all the time. The only problem is when you move that, you compete with the farmers market, and we got tours going on. Like, you know, it's hard. But I live for that. I love the happy hour is great. And honestly, the diehard fans that are on in the off season, like Heath Soder is one of them. Okay, Soder is probably like Soder, on every. Has Soder ever missed a Patreon happy hour? Like, has he ever missed one? I don't think so.
I don't think
so. Jeff's always on. Like, there's so many. Like, Chuck. Like there's an incredible amount of people that form this community. And shout out to you guys. I know I give Soder a ton of shit, and he takes it. And, you know, he's still here. So, you know, can't wait till he sees me and kicks my ass.
He's a gentleman. Overshadow Sean, thank you so much for the late super chat. Go Pack Go for life. Brother, you're talking my language. I love it. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.